bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy Thursday, everybody, and this half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee, terrific service department that backs it up routine to difficult. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So easy for me to talk about Sunbury Motors as a customer. Could not have been treated any better. The buying experience was tremendous. Chris did a great job. The Stanger, way to go. You may be a West Virginia guy, Stanger, but you're a good dude. And all the way through the financing part, they couldn't have handled it any better. That's why, you know, we've had this partnership for a long time, and I trust them, and they're great. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. A lot going on in today's show. I'm going to hear from John Parato talking about Cooperstown and Bob Nightingale and the trade deadline. We're going to hear from Bob in just a few moments. And Keith Pompey on the Sixers and where they are, especially with the Summer League finally coming to a close. The Summer League brought with it some interest, and that, you know, part of it was the Bronny James deal. But Dalton Connect, for example, performed very well for the Lakers in the Summer League. But the Summer League is what it is. It's the Summer League. And that's all it is. Nothing more than that. It's the Summer League. And so I always laugh about this stuff. Oh, it's a big deal. It's like, it's not a big deal. All right. You're not going to get yourself cut in the Summer League. You're not going to make the team in the Summer League. You're going to do that in training camp. But that's how that works out. Big Ten Media Days, of course. This is the final day of it. Penn State went yesterday. Nothing earth-shattering out of that. Jalen Reed was there. Tyler Warren was there. And Devon J. Thomas was there, formerly Devon Ellis. He's, you know, his mother is remarried. He's taken on that name. So it's Devon J. Thomas. Those are three of the leaders on the team. Another guy that's a leader that wasn't there is Nick Dawkins, for example. But, yeah, so final six teams are up today. Bob Nightingale next here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Henry Ford started building trucks in 1917, and Sunbury Motors has been selling them ever since. SMC has over 100 new Ford trucks with savings of up to $12,116 and financing as low as 0% during their annual July truck sale. Choose from 16 of the top-selling 2024 Ford Mavericks. They get up to 42 miles per gallon, and Sunbury Motors has them priced as low as $27,835. SMC has Central PA's largest selection of new Ford F-150s with 48 to pick from, and well-equipped Supercrew XLTs start at just $49,831. Sunbury Motors has a wide selection of Super Duty pickups with 36 to choose from, including regular cabs, super cabs, super crews, and utility bodies with gas or diesel engines. SMC is where you want to be in July for the hottest deals on new Ford trucks. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is a fifth generation Ford dealer proudly owned by the Mertz family for over a century.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
Welcome back. Great to have you with us. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. For Kia Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up every step of the way. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And it's always great to spend any time with Bob Nightingale from USA Today. Sir, welcome back. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, doing good. Just got back from Cooperstown last night from the ceremony. So, yeah, and the All-Star last week. So it was a crazy, fun, but crazy week.
Let me, I want to ask about Cooperstown first. Is that the kind of place, and when you see all the Hall of Famers from the past up on stage with the new ones about to be inducted, is that one of those, I realize you've done this a long time, but is it still a goosebump moment?
It's very cool. I mean, the first time guys are so excited, and for the guys, the Hall of Famers that come back every year, just, their one chance to see everybody and catch up and tell stories at the, at the bar, at the hotel. But yeah, they golf and stuff. But yeah, it's like, when they say what Disneyland is the happiest place on earth, it's probably the happiest place on earth, but, for baseball players.
Okay, so now we get to this part. And I've asked you this question, I feel like, every year the last few years, but there's so many teams that have an opportunity at this stage to think they can make the playoffs because of the expanded field. Does it make it more difficult at times to judge sellers versus buyers?
This one, I think there might be fewer sellers than ever. I don't remember this many teams. Of course, expand the wild cards, but this many teams in the race. I mean, you only have like five teams that are completely out of it. So, yeah, I think a lot of teams don't know what to do. So I think we're going to see a lot of teams just stand pat. Like, we're not going to buy, we're not going to sell. And the thing is, too, is people, may think that, well, if we make the playoffs, how far are we going to go? But then you look at the Arizona Diamondbacks last year and say, wait a minute now, they're the last team in, they made the World Series. So, yeah, I think it will be a lot less active than people think. If it's active, it's, a lot of, relievers and more smaller type players. So I'm not, providing Tarek Skubal's not moved, going and throwing Garrett Crochet. But besides those two guys, I'm not sure there's a difference maker out there.
Right, because, there's not a Justin Verlander you can pick up at a trade at this particular point that's going to swing it one way or the other. Crochet's, with the White Sox. America doesn't really know much about him because he plays for the White Sox. What kind of potential difference maker could he make to a contender?
Well, that's a big question, Steve, is that this guy's already thrown more innings than he has his entire career just because he's been hurt a lot. And so no one knows, how much can he pitch, the second half. His reliever, he's converted to a reliever. And so you're probably not going to be able to start him in September or October, but, you should be able to pitch in relief. So, but the big thing is you still have him for two more years, and right now he's probably making the minimum salary, $800,000. So, but yeah, that's the only, big asterisk is what can he give you down the stretch.
The Cubs are in an interesting spot. They're in the neighborhood of the playoffs. Not in, but they're in the neighborhood of it. What is the feeling there with the Cubs about keeping their nucleus together long-term versus short-term gain of making a deal?
Yeah, I think right now they're in a situation just, hold them. It's like, they're not in the race. They're not really out of it. And they're saying, it'd be stupid to trade prospects and go for it. So I think they'd be leaning more on the seller part. Like, let's give away some free, some fringe parts that, we can, get a nice return for. Because there's so few sellers, I think they may be looking at it as an opportunity. Like, okay, let's gear up for 2025.
Who would you expect to be the aggressive ones that will attempt to make deals. It was the usual crowd that we would expect, Yankees, Dodgers, Padres, people like that.
Yeah, it would. Yeah, exactly. Those teams. I think Seattle's going to be desperate to get an offensive, get a bat. You know, their pitching is so good. It's a shame to waste that pitching because it's so dominant. You know, nobody wants to face the Mariners in the first round. So, but yeah, I mean, the Dodgers have invested so much money in this team. For them, it's a World Series championship or bust. I know, people say that, but for them, it really is. I think it'd be very embarrassing for them not to at least make the World Series. And then, you know, in the Yankees, I think, you know, they need to go at least until late October, whether it's a World Series or at least, you know, deep in the ALCS, where they'll consider their season failure.
All right, so then there's the Astros, who got off to a tremendous 12-24 start and were essentially buried, yet they've come back. So when you look at them at this point and Dana Brown, does he become slightly aggressive at this point?
He does. I mean, the window's starting to close there. I mean, you don't have, you know, Bregman's a free agent after the year. Verlander's a free agent after the year. Not much of a farm system. So I think they'll be, you know, not real aggressive, but semi-aggressive. It's amazing what they've done with all the pitching injuries. And, you know, they'll be, you know, tied for first place, you know, right there. It's amazing. So I think they'll do everything possible just because this team is used to, you know, winning in October. And but this will be seven straight, you know, ALCS appearances.
I looked up underachieving in the dictionary, and the Toronto Blue Jays team picture came up. So when you look at them, and look, they've got talent. But how active do you expect them to be on the selling part of this, and how active are people going to be in terms of making phone calls to Toronto?
There have been a lot of phone calls to Toronto, particularly for Kikuchi, who's available. We'll see about Bassett. You know, they got, you know, Jansen, the catcher. So, you know, George Springer. So, no, I think teams will be very aggressive with them. I don't think they want to, you know, give away their future. I think they still want to go for 2025. Last year, Bichette. Last year, of you know, Vlad Guerrero. But yeah, they have achieved. They haven't won a playoff game since Alex Anthopoulos left of Atlanta in 2015. So you got to think there's going to be some firing set after the season.
Right. No question about that. It just seems like they're on that pathway. Unfortunately for them, because, I mean, it sounds like, you know, they're not untalented. They are. Cleveland has been a great story from day one. If they make any changes, would they be subtle ones based on the nucleus they already have?
It would be. And they could use some outfield help for sure. You know, their starting pitching has been as struggling. They would like to do that. But I can't see them, you know, going all in, throwing away some top prospects and going for it. These, you know, in their mind, they're going to say, are we really going to beat up the Yankees? Are we going to beat out, you know, Baltimore Orioles? You know, that sort of thing.
Are people, right. People around here, of course, will ask about the Phillies, who have had, obviously, a tremendous season to this point. Dave Dombrowski is usually pretty savvy around this time of the year. What do you expect from them?
I think they got another outfield bat, a right-hand hitter, coming through with Marsh. And it's a bullpen. Their bullpen is struggling of late. You know, they don't need to do much, but they could use a back-end reliever for sure. It's just like that's, you know, haunted Dave Dombrowski for years as far as not having that that lights out closer, you know, whether it was, you know, Benoit, you know, blowing it against the Red Sox, David Ortiz, home run, 13, and on, those bullpens that caused Dave. So I think they're going to go get in their back end for sure.
I do have to, the Red Sox were interesting, hot right before the break. Since the break, have not won a game. Now, four of them were against the Dodgers at Chavez Ravine. Where are they right now with all this and Craig Breslow?
Well, I think I don't think they're going to buy. I think they'll either mildly sell or stay pat. I don't think they, you know, thought they'd be in a position to be in a final position. I don't think realistically they think you know, they would go to the World Series. They want to keep, Alex or Alex Cora. But he's really one thing possible, to let him know they're in to win. But I don't see him being aggressive at all. I think they'll could even make some moves there, for the future. Whether it's dealing Jansen or something like that, and say, bear with us. We're going to try to be a very good team and open the window up beginning in 2025.
Yeah, and that's interesting. I have to ask you, Tampa Bay made a big step forward with the package to stay in St. Petersburg. I believe it still has to go to a referendum, I believe.
I guess it was somewhere, tomorrow night.
Yeah.
They cleared the first big steps. I think the second one, will happen, which will prove it. $6.5 billion project.
So if the A's are settled on Las Vegas, and Tampa Bay is settled on a new ballpark in St. Petersburg, does that now open the door to expansion based on what Rob Manfred outlined a couple of years ago?
Well, it does, but I don't think the timetable has changed at all. I still think you're thinking 2029 at the earliest, more likely 2030. And the two teams or two cities continue to be Nashville and Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City's interesting. I mean, they just got a hockey team to go with the basketball team. Yeah, Nashville, we know, they're about as organized as you can be. And at one point, Dave Dombrowski was part of that organization. What's made Salt Lake City emerge in your mind?
I think they have a big-time ownership group. I want to say it involves the owner of Utah Jazz, the Miller family.
Yep.
And just the money is in place. They think they can build a stadium. The hunger's there. They don't think they have to go too many loopholes to get, to get what they want. And of course, it would be nice to have a team, out west if you're going to have a team, in the central time zone. Baseball would love to go to back to Montreal. I guess nobody has stepped forward, and I don't think they have any confidence at all they can get a stadium. So particularly with what Oakland's gone through, Tampa, Miami, you better have everything in place and not take any chances.
In your opinion, Bob, what kind of season has this been for baseball? Has this been a good season, an excellent season, an okay season? What kind of season to this point do you think it's been?
It's been a good season. I know attendance is up, TV rings is up, a lot of young talent. And I think with all these teams in the race, it helps. I'm sure they're hoping it stays through till September so you can get some nice September crowds. But, there's nothing been historic about it. Obviously, Ohtani's having their fabulous year. Judge is having their great year. They haven't had they've had some controversies, obviously, with the gambling scandal and that sort of thing. But I think in general, baseball is pretty happy.
Well, we're always happy when we have you on. Thanks so much, Bob, for your time. As always, great information, and appreciate you very much.
All right, my pleasure. Take care, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today. Always great to have him on. This half hour of the show brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department that backs it up from routine to difficult. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Helmholtz Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. On News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn while they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
The best get-togethers start with a trip to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury. Why? Because Brewers Outlet has not only a great selection of beer, including imports and microbrews, but also a lot more. Brewers Outlet has water, soda, they roast their peanuts every day, and you can't forget about stopping by the pickle bar. Look for great deals on wine coolers and all your favorite snacks. Before you enjoy those special times with family and friends, make your visit first to the beverage supermarket, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, and Brewers Outlet. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back. This half hour of the show brought to you by Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, RV, you have a multitude of insurance needs, and Purdy Insurance handles them all. So A, you're fully insured, and B, they save you money. Sometimes it may be bundles, sometimes it may be in the ability to go across state lines, but they do everything they can to save you money, but also make sure that you're fully insured. They're great pros. Great people, great pros at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are 6 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Or excuse me, my apologies. Let me recalibrate that for you. We are 13 days away. 13 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Wednesday, August 7th at the Susquehanna Valley Country Club to benefit the Greater Susquehanna Valley YMCA. So you got 13 days. Get your team in there. All right, let's talk to Neil Coulong. Sir, in the world of common sense, you're the one that brings it to the table. Welcome.
There is nothing common about common sense, as you know, but it is still a great day and a great one to be here talking with you fine gentlemen.
Yes, so let's start with this, and that is the fact that they're having relatively serious talks now between the Players Association and the office in New York about going to 18 games. It's something you and I have talked about before. Your thoughts on the fact that it's serious at this stage?
I think this was telegraphed a while ago. They wanted 18. Depending what side of the fence you're on, I think you can make the argument very simply that 18 is better than 17 in the owner's mind.
Mm-hmm.
They could get one out of it last time. I think each side can represent a reason to have agreed on 17 instead of pushed or argued against 18, in that it sets something up for next time. In a collective bargaining situation, everything is quid pro quo. What can I get for this? Each side is bargaining. I think if the players were really against the idea of 18 games, they would probably have dug in a bit harder on 17. What can they get for an 18th game is the right question to ask as far as their leadership is concerned. So are you going to get a bigger cut of revenue because of this? That's very possible. Are there other concessions that we can get because of this? Can we lump this in with a bunch of other things? I'm not inside the union's war room discussing all this, but they probably have a laundry list of things that they want in exchange for that game. There will be a much more spirited discussion surrounding the inclusion of that 18th game. But I do think both sides are aware of the fact that that's where this is going to go. It's just a question of what the price is. That's what they're discussing now. In the last CBA, this might not even be a CBA issue, to be honest. They don't need the CBA to determine that. It really just kind of comes down to how they want to define it for the short term. You know, I don't know if this is a next year thing or not, but they're going to get together. They're going to meet, go over it. I'm pretty sure everyone kind of saw the direction the wind was blowing and knew they were going to add this other game. So what can the players get in the short term for this, and what is it going to set up in terms of the next CBA. Because to be honest, I think the players would like to have this be the topic of conversation for the next CBA, delay it a little bit and be able to lump in more things that have to be done via collective bargaining, as opposed to now, I'm forgetting what the term of it is, but something that's done inside the CBA, they can negotiate, discuss it. There are other, value adds the players can get beyond just revenue, although revenue is, usually going to be the cornerstone of it all.
Let's get to the Joe Burrow thought, and that is two bye weeks during an 18-game schedule. What would your thought be on that?
Yeah, I think that's a good one for them to pitch. I think that makes sense.
I
can see the value to it. I think we enter into territory of 16 of 18 games, 20 weeks of the regular season, and then playoffs. I think you're probably risking fatigue a little bit. But I do think there's a trade-off in there if you want to discuss safety, health. It gives probably the NFL more opportunity to expand into Saturday, Tuesday, Wednesday, every other day they're not playing. There's more that they can do with that. I've said this often, and this is just kind of a dumb point to make, I know, but I feel for the schedule makers. I don't know how they keep all this stuff together. I don't know how logistically they piece it all together, but I do think a second bye week opens things up from the owner's perspective. It probably would mean more international games just because you've got that extra week that they can come back from. I think it makes sense. I could see the owners being okay with that. Fans on the surface will probably complain. By and large, though, I don't think it's anything that people can't just kind of get used to. Enjoy it for what it is. It lasts a little bit longer. Some years that's better, some years that's worse, I'm sure. But it makes sense. I definitely think that's a part of it. I would hope the union, in including Burrow's proposal, would add more to it. I think it's a costly piece of negotiating leverage. I'd hope they get a little bit more out of it. I'm sure that they will.
In fact, I believe this happens to be a year where the college football schedule sets up in terms of bye weeks between Labor Day weekend and Thanksgiving weekend. So that's why there's always one. Well, there's always a time where there's two. Well, this is two this year in college football because Labor Day to Thanksgiving weekend's 14 Saturdays. I've been advocating that college football, especially with the expanded playoff, needs to go to two as well. I mean, I've been advocating for that. Just make two permanent. Now I'm going to ask the big question, which is just a pure guessing game. From the fans' interest point of view, how many is too many?
Such a great question. Let me give you the digital content perspective.
Okay.
You get used to certain trends. Traffic peaks at certain times. What I've noticed over two decades of staring myself blind at spreadsheets and Google Analytics, there is a point where it drops around late October.
Okay.
And I'm saying this generally, not the election year, significant drop I'm sure I'm going to see come late October this year. Typically, it seems like that sort of wears out. The novelty is kind of off. Others, you might argue more natural or sociological issues that come with that. Late October in the areas that we're from, not always the nicest to be outside. A lot less daylight. It's a bit more bleak and gray. Your interest in a lot of things kind of wanes down. If your team is 2-5 going into October, you're not going to be as interested as you were in week one. So from that perspective, anything beyond that to rally the interest of the fan base beyond just the game itself, because they'll gripe about it, not be content, yell for everybody to be fired, but come kickoff, they're excited. Just the window of excitement shrinks considerably if your team isn't good as the season goes on.
Right.
Where it really lights up again is December. Mm-hmm. Now, on one hand, November tends to not be great because you have a holiday in there. Thanksgiving is not a great digital holiday, as odd as it seems. People aren't really checking into these things all that much. It's really kind of, you know where it is. It's the middle of the week. Your game's after all the stuff. So you lose a couple days in there. You see that impact in traffic. Come December, what you're really looking at is, you know, the great concentration of the regular seasons into the postseasons of the NFL and college. And what that means is you're hitting on the draft market. People that have a terrible team are now looking at who's the top five pick. Some of them are playing in bowl games. You know, you get a look at that. They're off, so you're talking, you know, college writers are talking more about the individual players anyway, what their futures are like, who's leaving, transfer portal stuff now. A lot of that comes up in December. And in some cases, you're even closer to firing that NFL head coach, mm-hmm. or you actually do it. Big traffic moments. A lot, you know, the commonality in all that is the change. You know, where is it going? Why is it going to get better? To me, those are not, they're game adjacent. They're not game specific, though. So the question of how many games from a digital content perspective is less important than the general buzz that comes with it. The NFL is a large soap opera. You know, people don't really like to call it that, but I can assure you the product off the field is worth a lot more than the product on the field is. Mm-hmm. People watch the games. They're into that, but they really follow the storylines that play into it all. Coaches getting fired, maybe getting fired. Coaches becoming available, maybe becoming available. Add that into the transfer portal stuff. College coaches getting fired. All these things are linked together. And December is a big, big month because of that. So you're adding on games into January, and maybe that buzz goes into January instead of more into December. So I don't think 18 is too much for that. I think by the time February comes along, you've got kind of that groundhog feel. It's like, okay, this is still going to go on for however long. I could see the fatigue setting in at, you know, above 18. People are going to gripe about 18 as if it's too much. I think they're still going to be drawn into it as long as there's not too much of a gap between the end of college and the end of the regular season. In the NFL, but that's definitely something to watch. I think that's going to be really interesting, just to see how audiences react, not just two extra games, but the build up to it, that exciting time of the year that they're used to in December. Can you get that in January? January is not a real warm month in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
I'm curious to see how people will respond to that.
Because when they went to 17, I didn't think it was any big deal in terms of how I'd feel about it. And I remember as the season was going, I kept thinking, man, this is really a long season. I mean, even I started, it was just an addition of one game. That's why I think it's an important question.
Yeah, I definitely think there is a market of people that are going to say too much is too much. And I would say the effect that you're describing is more like, not that the ending is at a certain point, but there's more time to go.
Yeah.
And to me, on the downside of it, what you look at is the biggest advantage, in my opinion, the NFL has over other sports is the finality of every game. I have no clue who anybody in professional baseball is playing tonight.
Right.
But what I know is nobody is going to look back at this game as the point of victory or defeat come October. Mm-hmm. The games are, by and large, I don't want to say meaningless, but they're not important. We're used to it. You know, it's the cycle. It's the everyday thing. Football, world stops for your one game.
Yeah.
We've noticed this. We've talked about it in this segment a bunch over the years, is how, you know, to be blunt, terrible some teams look in week one.
Yes.
You know, maybe that carries into week two, because now this is becoming more of a marathon than a sprint. So maybe the question is not so much the audience. Maybe it's on the field, how they're being managed, how they're being coached. They got to last a bit longer. Yes, and you're going to take on, say, an additional 200 snaps a year, but more, you got to slow down a little bit. We can't run this like a 400 meter anymore. Now this is an 800 meter. We're going to pace ourselves a little bit more and try to sustain more speed for a little bit longer. Especially considering these things happened in this generation of the game. There are players that used to play in 16 games. I mean, how old are we? Right, you know, right. Back in my day when they only played 16 games, right. We're at that point. You know, it was kind of a stretch ago. And the older players have that experience. You know, they'll be probably out by the time they get 18 games. But I think we're going to see a difference, especially early in the year when the excitement is the highest for the most amount of teams. It wouldn't surprise me if they come out of the gate, you know, pretty light. Good teams winning 18 games in a year is really, really hard to do. So in that way, they devalue the regular season a little bit more. I don't know if it could really go any higher than that. I do think they want to push it and own as much of the market as they can. But law of diminishing returns is going to come into effect here pretty quick. And I just think it's more the product on the field as opposed to people watching it.
Right. Rob Manfred was just at Cooperstown for the Baseball Hall of Fame. And he's an attorney. And to the people I talked with there, they said he kind of got up there and was just matter of fact about things, didn't act like he wanted to be there. That was their impression of it. I didn't see it myself. And I sat back and made me wonder. I know the commissioner has to advocate for the owners. I understand that. Which, by the way, of course, includes TV contracts and the like. Who advocates for the fans? Who sits down in a room and says, hey, can everybody hold on a second? Can we talk about what's best for the fans here? Who does that?
I think that the easy answer would be the fans do. They bought fewer tickets and watched fewer games.
Right.
You might think about trying to engage them again. I think baseball, ironically, because I agree with the general point that you're making, but baseball, ironically, is the game that has incorporated the most recently out of the idea of the fans. I think that the pitch clock in baseball is long overdue. It's something that has made it better. There are other, you know, interests as far as the shift goes, eliminating, you know, pitching to intentional walks. Those kinds of things were done with the fan in mind. It speeds it up. And, I don't want to act like speeding the game up is the only end-all concern that they have. But it has a significant impact. If you watch a game, it's just so much more enjoyable to see something with a flow. And I understand the history of baseball largely dictates that you don't change anything. They haven't liked change. They've been most resistant to change of any sport. Most established one, that makes sense. But to the degree that they have gone recently to act with, I think, the fan in mind, should be replicated with other sports, because that doesn't exist. In the NFL, you know, some conspiracy theorists among us, myself included, might say fines and suspensions are largely driven by crowdsourced reactions coming from the league more than they are any type of independent judgment. And what I mean by that is, guarantee week one, if there is a controversial hit of some type that's pretty prominently shown around everything, people are all weighing in on it, you will see a prominent reporter tweet out, the league is considering a suspension for whoever, whatever it was. I don't even know what that means. Did Adam Schefter call him and say, hey, are you guys thinking about suspending this guy? Yeah, we're thinking about it. at what point do they meet and decide we're going to consider a suspension but not actually rule on a suspension? Why would you even do that? So in my mind, they use the fans' reaction to help determine whether or not the player should be suspended or whatever, you know, or just fined. So in you know, kind of a paranoid, delusional way, people like me might think that the NFL seeks the opinions of the fans by, you know, kind of teasing news out there and seeing how people react to it. If the reaction is very favorable overall, that, you know, the player should be suspended, they'll suspend them. If not, they won't. I think they do take the fans into account when it comes to that. At the same time, as you know full well, within the NFL, fan reaction to things like blown non-pass interference calls in a playoff game leads to an entire rule change in which now they can review pass interference calls. Right. And what I think history will bear out is one of the stupidest, short-sighted decisions
that
the NFL has ever made. The fans absolutely have weight in those types of things, just not in a formal way, not in an official way.
Always a pleasure. We never discuss where we're going to go with it because I know I can ask him anything, and the flow is tremendous. Thank you so much, Neil. Talk to you next week.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Neil Coulon, this half hour brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com, just 13 days away from the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.